Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And Joshy's biggest fan.
It's nice to see Josh at the big boy table. Thank you, everybody. Keep up the good work, Josh.
It's ESPN NFL Insider Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino, Tony Wendorf and Associates, and Smart 18 Union.
Always love talking to our guy, Adam Schefter, here on a Wendorf Wednesday. And, of course, Schefty brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates. Just like the moves made of the pros, Tony Wendorf and Associates, Keller Williams, helps people make their own big moves every day. Trusted knowledge, superior service. They're the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. If you're looking to buy or sell a house, make the move. Get in touch with Tony Wendorf and Associates. Good morning, Shafty. What's going on, man?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. Weather's starting to turn here. Golf is about to really start here in Wisconsin. The Masters is around the corner. What else could I ask for, Shafty?
That is pretty good. You know what? I'm in my fantasy basketball semifinals. We could use Kevin Porter to be back, but I just wonder if he's going to be shut down for the season now. That's my question.
Yeah, I would not be shocked if that's the route the Bucks ultimately decide to go, since they may or may not be shutting down Giannis for the season, and if the NBA PA, not big fans of that. But where I want to start with you today with NFL stuff, Shefty, is the conversation last week on the Rich Eisen show. You had Mike Florio on, and Florio had pointed out that there is no date for the Super Bowl in February of 2028, and he believes that's because the NFL wants an 18th game. And obviously, that, you know, if they add an 18th game, that would change when the Super Bowl would be played. He also floated out that there's an idea out there that if they go to 18 games, they might try to sell the players on just, hey, we're going to go to 18 games, but you only have to play 17 of them. Quarterbacks would be exempt from that rule, and special teamers like kickers and punters. What are your thoughts of if the owners propose, hey, we want an 18th game, but you only have to play 17 games?
I've never heard of that. I mean, I'm not telling you that it can't go there, but I have not heard anything like that so far. The NFLPA just elected their new executive director, J.C. Treader, last week. There are going to be a lot of different conversations that are had. I think that the NFLPA has been against it, as they should be, because if nothing else, it builds up their leverage. We know the NFL is going to absolutely want 18 games unequivocally, more money, a lot more money, international packages, like all sorts of lucrative incentives. But the permutations and variations of what it would look like right now, I just think it's premature.
Adam, how do you see the official CBA going? You think they'll get it done? Are they asking for the moon? Where's this at? I mean, because all I'm hearing
here's what I would say to that, Chewy. That's an issue right now. It's like any negotiation, right? We'll see where they are this summer. Like, they may not be anywhere in late March, and they may not matter. But they're not in a good spot right now. The word that has been used to me by more than one person is dire. Ooh, and the NFL is already taking these steps. Like, okay, they're putting in rule proposals that if there are replacement officials and they're lining up replacement officials from certain college conferences, like, the wheels are in motion to have replacement refs. And we know what happened the last time there were replacement refs. It didn't work out all that great. Mm-hmm. And the refs obviously have certain demands that they want to see met, and they're not being met right now. And the league has certain stances where it's at. And that right now is the next issue for the offseason. Now, I don't know how much fans are going to care or not care about that. I don't know, like, how interested people will be in the dispute between the NFL and the NFLRA. You know, like, I don't know. I don't know where that registers on the interest meter. But I could tell you that I think it has the potential right now to be a thing.
Well, but I mean, I'm guessing fans, for the most part, Shefty, probably don't care until we get to the point that we did the last time this happened and they boot a call at the end of a game and it costs a team, like the Green Bay Packers, a win. And then that's what ultimately, you know, kicked it into high gear where the officials came back in 2012. I mean, for the most part, I don't think people care until, you know, it affects their team or affects their game or their gambling or their fantasy team.
Right. Right. Well, and then they do care.
Yes.
I always remember back during that period, my late great friend Chris Morns had one of the all-time stories. He had a replacement official who was officiating the Saints game that day, dressed up in Saints garb and Saints pom-poms and Saints jerseys, and that official is doing the game that day. Ooh. It was unbelievable. Like, oof. You know, like whatever the guy's name was, Jim Smith, you know, we'll call him Jim Smith. You know, here's Jim Smith's Facebook page, you know, where he's wearing a Drew Brees jersey, you know, and his house is decked out in black and it was just great. You
know? Come on, man. Can't be doing that.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's the can of worms that you open, so to speak, by going in this direction. And I will just say, we don't know how it'll end up, but it's moving in that direction right now.
Adam, me and Gabe were just talking about the potential 5 rule changes.
Yeah.
Any of them go through?
You know, I don't know. We go to Arizona on Sunday. The meeting will be wrapped up by Tuesday afternoon. We'll obviously have more clear-cut answers for you in this spot next week on Wednesday, what comes out of the meetings. I don't know what will pass and what won't. I just don't know. I haven't asked anybody in advance.
Do you enjoy going there? Do you treat that like a vacation? I know the Biltmore. Is that at the Biltmore?
I don't mean to be short and curt about it. I don't treat anything like a vacation, okay? I don't even treat my vacation
like vacation. Like vacation.
So there's not no the way spa, my mind there's is no wired. Golf. Okay.
No. No, and by the way, it's kind of an interesting little story, but I remember when I was younger and back in Denver, and I flew out to the owners' meetings that happened to be in Phoenix also, and I'm at the airport, and there was the late, great Will McDonough, and he was at baggage claim, and I went over, and I said hello. I think I'd met him. You know, not that he would have known, and he said, kid, why don't you ride with me to the hotel? I'm like, great. He had a limousine pull up and pick him up. And we were talking all about it, and I'm like, he had his tennis racket. I'm like, you're playing tennis? Oh yeah, play tennis with the NFL owners all the time. And I remember the meetings. Like I'm in line waiting, and Will McDonough's out on the tennis court with Ralph Wilson, the Bills owner, and he's out playing tennis with, you know, Al Davis or whatever. Like, and people have different approaches, you know, all the time. That was his approach to go play. I've never gone to the owners' meetings ever. And ever played golf. I've never gone one time I did play golf way back when in California when I was maybe my first couple of years of my career. Like, and I learned, I did it, and I would never do that again. Like, I'm there to work. I'm not there to play golf or tennis like Will did all the time. It's just, to me, I have only a few occasions all year where I wind up traveling, like the Combine. Owners meetings where you're literally around representatives from every team. So I remember the year that we were all waiting for the Aaron Rodgers trade. I checked into this hotel. Like, they always have the owners meetings here, it seems like. It's going to be here this year, next year. And I remember checking into the hotel and walking to my room, a long walk. Room was far away, like out in the boonies, with the Jets general manager, Joe Douglas. And we bumped into Brian Gutekunst, the Packers GM. And it was the three of us standing there discussing, you know, Aaron Rodgers it was kind of funny. I'm not going to say what. Yeah, it was funny.
say no more, Adam. He is brought to us by Smart 18, the union for Wisconsin sheet metal workers. If you want more, if you want to earn more and build a real career in the trades, this is where it starts. Better pay, incredible benefits, real training, real representation. This isn't just a job, it's a future. Learn more at smart18.work. Speaking of unions, I want to go back to that because, as you mentioned, J.C. Treader now is, you know, the executive director of the NFLPA. How did that all come together? Because he resigned his previous job with the PA, had said he wanted nothing to do with the interim position, didn't want to be executive director. It wasn't great with some of the things that had happened with the previous executive director that he was loosely linked to. So how did he come from that to ultimately become the most powerful man in the NFL Players Association?
Obviously changed his mind. Obviously, I think he had to distance himself some from Lloyd Howell, who left in disgrace. And over time, there was enough support from the people in the NFLPA to get him in that position. And that's what happened. And he wins the election. Now, you know, there are some people that really believe in J.C. Treader, and there are some people who have been outspoken on social media who don't. And here's the deal. He's going to have the chance to prove with his actions over time that he's worthy of that position. Right now, the jury's out. Again, he's got his supporters, he's got his detractors, and it's going to be up to him to prove whether or not he's worthy of that job. But there's a huge job ahead. It's an important position, and we're going to see how that works out.
Adam Schefter joins us every Wednesday on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. I was listening to your podcast, and I saw you talking about Tua and the unimaginable cap hit that the Miami Dolphins are taking to get rid of him. Do you expect teams to sort of adopt that more moving forward, where with the ever-increasing cap and just the level of trying to re-improve and remake your team, do you think teams are going to be willing to take on ever-increasing cap hits like that?
Well, I just think the cap is at a point now where it's at $308 million. So the more it goes, the higher it goes, the more you can take on a $40, $50 million dead cap hit. It takes up a smaller percentage of the salary cap hit. But the Dolphins this year are eating $175 million in dead cap money. The salary cap is $308. So that leaves them with $133 million against the cap, whereas other teams have $308 million. Now, at some point, you got to take your medicine. But the Dolphins are taking a whole bottle of NyQuil right here this season before they go to sleep.
Robo-tripping.
I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot that they have to absorb. But, you know, you have to do it at some point. You might as well do it now and attempt to get better and stockpile draft. They're doing it the right way. They're handling it the right way. But it's just a lot to absorb for any team.
That kind of gives them a little bit more time, though, right? Because we've got a loose affiliation. That's Green Bay South at this point. You know, their GM came from up there. The quarterback came from up here. Head coach came from up here. So we've got a loose affiliation to the Miami Dolphins. That kind of, because this year they're so much up against it. I don't know if it's going to be held against the new regime if they struggle, if they're spending half of what other teams can.
That's the way it's going to be. They understand the situation. They understand all the cap hits they're taking, all the money they're absorbing at some point in time. Like, you know, it's the same thing with every person in their credit card bills. Like, you know, your credit card bills come in every month and they're thousands of dollars. You could pay it all off at once and it's going to hurt. You can have less money than them, or you can just keep stringing it out. Eventually the credit card bill is so big that you just got to just swallow hard and pay it off at some point. And that's what they're doing right now. They're paying off their debt and they're going to do it this year and it's going to hurt. But they've got a new GM and they're going to be patient with him. They got a new head coach. They're going to be patient with him. The ownership understands where they are, so you might as well start cleaning it up. And they're doing that.
Adam, if Rodgers retires, what do you think Pittsburgh's plan is at quarterback?
Well, first of all, I think they like Will Howard. I think they like Will Howard more than people realize, number one.
Okay.
But I think if Aaron Rodgers were not to come back, I think they'd have Will Howard, they'd have Mason Rudolph, and I think it would be easy at that point to pivot and go see if Kirk Cousins would be interested in coming to Pittsburgh. So you got a guy like that with Will Howard, with Mason Rudolph, and you know, you'd be covered. Look, they want Rodgers to come back. They're hoping he comes back, but he hasn't committed to coming back, so until he does, you just don't know how that's going to play out.
So is Kirk Cousins just going to kind of wait out the market to see if something opens up for him to get a starting job? Because the Packers need a backup quarterback, Adam. I don't know if there'd be a fit there or not, but...
Yeah, I don't think Kirk Cousins is waiting it out. I think he's just sizing it up. Okay, mm-hmm. Like he's made more money than any player in history, and it's not like he's like if an opportunity comes along that appeals to him that he likes, he'll go do it. If it doesn't, then maybe he's on TV. You know, maybe he's taking my job. Like he can do a lot of things. So it's not like he's waiting it out so much as he's just kind of sitting back and seeing what comes to him over time.
Don't let him take your job, Shefty. I don't want to talk to him every Wednesday. I'd rather talk to you.
Yeah. I enjoy talking to you guys every way. By the way, Gabe, I don't even know if I should ask you. Who do we like this week in the Houston Open? Being that Jen's gone, where we have we could have unfiltered golf conversations for the remainder of the segment.
I haven't. It's not a great field. I haven't. Yeah. You know. I mean, it's now open for somebody else to win since Scottie Scheffler. Yep. You know, he withdrew because they're expecting their second child any day now. So I haven't done my deep dive into the field yet because I got to make my pick. I got to do that at some point today. Do you have a name you like? Have you started to kind of dissect the field?
A few names. Steven Yeager has had a good track record there. Minwoo Lee is playing well. He's the favorite though right now. Yeah. Brooks seems to be playing pretty well right now.
Yeah, the iron play's been great. He just can't putt.
Stellar. Correct. But he's also had a hand in designing this course, apparently. So, I don't know. Chris Goddard is a big hitter. Tony Finau's played well here. Gary Woodland has played well here.
Yeah, I saw Gary Woodland's he's got the second best scoring average at this event. So, yeah, I think you want to get somebody who hits it long. I think that seems to be a pretty, at least, you know, Scotty's not necessarily long. He hits it plenty far, but somebody of that ilk. I don't think you want a short hitter at this golf course.
Yeah. Oh, I need a Kevin Porter update, okay?
I mean, we've got a pal, you know, our good buddy Eric Name covers the Bucks for the Athletic, all right? We'll get a text. We'll try to, you know, get you a Kevin
I'm
Porter
on
update.
It, Shefty.
Text me, please.
You got
okay?
It.
I just like if he's being shut, just let me know. Just let me know. Like it's all he's out tonight against the Clippers, I believe they play, right? Like just let me know. He's out. Okay, no problem. I don't have to carry him.
Yeah, they play the Blazers tonight. Last game
Blazers
of a Western road trip. Yes.
Yeah, I knew it was that. We'll see. Yeah, I'd like him to play again, but we'll see.
Yeah, again, I can understand why. Dude fills up the stat sheet. He's a great fantasy player. And Shefty, we always love talking to you every Wednesday. Look forward to doing it again next week.
Guys, thank you very much. Have a great week. Next week I'll be in Arizona. Could we do it Thursday next week?
Yeah, absolutely. Or
we can do whatever you want.
whatever you're available.
Well, actually, I'm just thinking Thursday I have get up. You know, maybe we'll do it next Wednesday. I'll just be in the airport. Maybe we can move up. I'll talk to Josh.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. You have your people talk to Josh and we'll figure it out. Adam Schefter joins us each and every week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. He's brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino, a premier resort destination, largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.